He says, then our hearts burn within us while he talked with us. Does your heart burn when you read the Bible? You go, wow, Lord, you're speaking to me right now. Lord, let me underline this. This speaks to my heart. I want to underline this so when I come back, maybe the next time I can see the date and the when you spoke to me, and this is what you spoke to me. That's what the Word of God is for.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As a young man, Raul was blind to God's love and determined to go his own way. His rebellion nearly cost him everything. Then Christ spoke truth to his heart and Raul responded in faith and repentance. To find out more about Raul's story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of our journey through Luke's Gospel. As Raul explores the varied responses of men and women who encountered the resurrected Christ, we pray that you'll be moved to a deeper level of faith in God's goodness and power. We'll see today how to make our life a living testimony to the amazing truth that Christ has conquered sin and death on our behalf. Here's Raul Reese now in Luke chapter 24.
And now in the first day, Sunday of the week, very early in the morning, between 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, they certain other women with them. That was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the Mary wife of mother of James. He says, with them, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Now, they're coming to the tomb not knowing, recognizing that the tomb is empty. They don't know that yet. But it's so awesome because as these women came, their heart was right before God. Because it says, look, he says, with them and came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. They were coming to anoint his actual body, to clean him up and get him ready for the burial. They didn't understand. They were kind of bummed out because when they're getting to the tomb, he's not going to be there, which means they don't know that he's resurrected yet at this particular moment. And then he says this, verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They had come, and Jesus was not there in the tomb. You could lose heart, you know, when you see the tomb empty. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably in their minds, they're questioning the resurrection. Verse 4. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, the two angels stood by them, shining garments. And then as they were afraid, the women, they are the women. As they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they went down to the earth and just began to bow to the earth from fear. They said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Underline that. I mean, if we really believe that Jesus said he was going to die and rise again from the dead, then why are we doubting? Why should we doubt? I mean, God has spoken about heaven. I've never seen heaven. God has spoken about angels. I've never seen an angel. I mean, these things that God teaches in the Bible, there are many times things that we don't understand and things that we've never seen. But one day, our eyes will be open and we will see how, you know, everything has been said to us through the Word of God. Verse 6 again. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying to you, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. That's exactly what he's been telling them. The Romans, the Jews, the Pharisees, scribes, the Sadducees, they hate me. They want to kill me. And that's why he says, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, he will rise again. He said that he will rise again from the dead. And what he says, he completed. And yet somehow, the disciples had unbelief in their hearts. Many of us have unbelief in our own hearts. I would be a liar to say that I have never had unbelief. I've had unbelief in my life. Many things that I don't understand and I doubt. But then he says in verse 8, and then they remembered his words. Notice that. They remember his words. Oh, yeah. Jesus said that. And then they returned from the tomb, the women, and told all these things to the 11. Judas was dead. There's 11 now. And to all the rest. And there was Mary Magdalene. Remember, she had 7 demons. Before she came to Christ, she was demon-possessed by 7 demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the Roman, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. They're the ones, first of all, to get the gospel of the resurrection to who? To the disciples of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. The women took the message to the disciples of Jesus Christ. When they were hungry, when this had to be done, the women were there doing their service to Jesus and to the disciples. The only wife that is mentioned in the scriptures is Peter's wife. And his mother-in-law. None of the others is not mentioned. Only Peter. Then he goes, verse 11. And the words seemed to them as idle words. The word idle there, it means nonsense, literally. And their words seem to them, the disciples, because of what they told them, the women, as nonsense. And they did not believe them. Notice what it says here. How many times we are like the disciples, not believing but have unbelief in our lives. They walked with Jesus 3.5 years. Spoke to them, shared with them. He's crucified, he dies, he rises from the dead. And here is his disciples not believing. Not believing what he told them. And the women came and testified to them. Listen, you guys, Jesus is not dead, he's risen from the dead. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And stooped down, he saw the linen cloth lying themselves, and he departed marveling to himself at what had happened to Jesus, still questioning. Verse 13, and behold. Now from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, we're going to deal with two disciples, the road to Emmaus. They came to see Jesus, and now they're going back where they were heading to Emmaus, totally disappointed. Totally disappointed. Watch. Verse 13. And now behold, two of them were traveling at the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And he says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So they're talking about what took place. But so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They don't recognize that this is Jesus. They're bummed out. And Jesus pulls up right up to them. He says, but their eyes were restrained. Notice the unbelief. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Jesus. And he said to them, Jesus, what kind of a conversation, what were you guys talking about? That you were talking about with one another as you were walking and are sad? I mean, why should we be sad when we know that Jesus died and rose again from the dead? I've never seen Jesus. But you see, it's that experience we have with Jesus Christ as we repent of our sins. We ask him to come into our hearts. There's a transformation like Mary. Something happened. Something happened to me. Something happened to you. It wasn't something emotional, but it was by faith. By faith, what God did in my life. By faith, what God has done in your life. And we must continue to believe by faith until Jesus Christ comes again. Verse 18. And then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Haven't you heard of Jesus of Nazareth? That he came and they killed him and he was supposed to resurrect from the dead? And Jesus said to them, what things? Imagine, what things, you guys? What are you talking about? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds, and word before God and all the people. No one had been like Jesus. That's what he's saying. He goes on. And how the chief priests, those are his enemies. They're talking about his enemies. How the chief priests, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and the Sadducees, notice his chief priests and the rulers delivered Jesus to be condemned to death. The Romans crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We thought that this is it for Israel. He's going to redeem us. We're going to have the Messiah. And then the enemy are going to be taken care of. And we will rule our country by Jesus being the Redeemer. Indeed, besides all this, today, the third day, this is the third day Sunday, since these things have happened, today is the day that all these things have happened. Yes. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Who? The women. Notice that. Again, the women. Verse 24. And certain of those who were with us went up to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see. He wasn't there. Verse 25, and then he said to them, notice, O foolish ones, slow of heart, he rebukes them, to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Didn't you read Isaiah 53? Didn't you read Psalm 22? They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Pentateuch. They had the prophets. They had all the Old Testament. He says, haven't you guys been reading your Bible? It's spoken of in Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. It spoke about his death, his resurrection. And then notice what he says. Oh, not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory. Why? Because of the scriptures. Didn't you read that? He was coming, he was leaving, and he's coming back again. You see, when people don't read their Bibles, they don't know what's going on. We need to read the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. If you would ask Christians today, maybe not the majority, but you would ask them to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and ask them, do you know what that chapter is about? They would say, no. Why? Never read it. Psalm 22, never read it. When you read the Word of God, you begin to see, man, this is what they said. And then you turn to your New Testament and you go, wow, this was said here and it's was fulfilled here. This is what he said and now it's fulfilled. That's the Word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. The one that said it and the one that proclaimed it and the one that has come to fulfillment. We see verse 26 again. Are not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses, the Pentateuch. Look at it. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. He gave them a big old Bible study. Imagine that. From Genesis all the way through, he pointed to them in the scriptures that the Messiah must come and die. That's what we need to read the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that we can know the Messiah of the Old Testament and the one that was sent to die for the sins of the world, the one that has set me free, the one that set you free, the one by his blood washed away all of our sins. Why? Because he loves us. Verse 28. And then they drew near to the village of Emmaus where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further. He says, you guys, I would have gone further with you, but I got to go. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went and stayed with them. Imagine, they still don't know that this is Jesus. They still don't know. And he gave them a Bible study. Verse 30, and now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, they were going to eat, that he took bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Their own private little communion service. And then their eyes were open. Isn't that cool? Whatever their eyes saw, they said, wow, this is the Mashiach, the anointed one of God. This is Jesus. And look what it says. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. All of a sudden, he's gone. He's going to where? To the Galilee to meet with the disciples. He disappears. And then they say to one another, hey, did not our hearts burn? Has your heart ever burned? Your heart burned when Jesus has spoken to you? He put something in your heart and you go, man, my heart burns within me. I can't help it. He says, then our hearts burn within us while he talked with us. Does your heart burn when you read the Bible? Does it burn? You go, wow, Lord, you're speaking to me right now. Lord, let me underline this. This speaks to my heart. I want to underline this so when I come back, maybe the next time I can see the date and the when you spoke to me, and this is what you spoke to me. That's what the Word of God is for. He goes on. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened, listen, the scripture to us. Notice what it says. He opened the scriptures to them. He spoke to them the word of God. The problem was the fire had gone out. How many times you see people, the fire has gone out in their hearts? You look at the church today. Does the church's heart burn with themselves tonight? Is the heart of the church burning? Burning for the gospel, burning for Jesus, so that we can take the gospel out to the world that is perishing and going to hell. And here we have the answer. Here we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he's done in my life, done in your life. Amen. Whenever I go somewhere, there's always opportunity to share the love of Christ. Always. Always. I want to ask you a question. When is the last time you led someone to the Lord? When was the last time? When is the last time you witnessed to somebody? Doesn't your heart burn within you? That people are going to hell? As Jesus has spoken to you? As Jesus has been teaching you the Word of God? That the scriptures have become real in my life? He says, verse 33, so they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those were with them gathered together. So they went back to tell him, you guys, you're not going to believe this. Jesus walked along and he gave us the greatest Bible study in the Old Testament and we had supper with him. And then he left. And look what they say. Saying, the Lord is risen. Another testifying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. One of them was Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Isn't that cool? In the breaking of the bread. Didn't Jesus say, I am the bread of life? Jesus said that. I am the bread of life. He gave them life. He's given us life. Eternal life. And they told the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Whenever we take communion, I want to make sure my heart, I want to make sure the people's heart are right. It's not just taking the bread and the cup. It's something special. Paul gives us a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He speaks about communion. That anybody that is in sin should never take communion. When you examine your heart, you repent in your heart, you're going to have a change of heart. When you partake of that bread and you partake of that cup, one of the greatest things you're doing in your life. And that's why we partake of communion. He has given us the right to take communion because he loved us and because he continues to love you, continues to love me. Verse 36. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the middle of them. Can you believe that? As they're standing there, Jesus stands there in the middle. Okay, you guys, I'm here. He says in the midst of them and said to them, you guys, peace unto you. And then he says, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a ghost. And then he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt and arise in your heart? Why are you doubting in your hearts? Did not your hearts burn within you? Behold my hands and my feet. You guys come over here. Thomas, come over here. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. Look at the side. Behold my hands and my feet. That is, I myself, handle me. See me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Notice he makes a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. And when he had said this, notice, he showed them his hands and his feet. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus, your hands and your feet, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. But they still did not believe. Imagine that. They still did not believe. But they did not yet believe for joy, the joy that they had, and the marvel. He said to them, have you any food here? You guys, have you guys eaten? You got any food, you guys? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it in their presence to demonstrate to them not only that he was the Christ, but that he had a body that he could eat and he could drink to prove to them of the resurrection. Then he says this, verse 44. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. What's that? The Old Testament again. I spoke to you while I was still with you that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law, the five books of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. So when you read the Psalms of David, you read the five books of Moses, you go to the major or minor prophets and you read concerning Jesus in the Old Testament. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend what? The scriptures. Isn't that what Jesus does to us? When we open the Bible, he gives us understanding as we pray and ask him to speak to our hearts.
Well, this concludes our study of Christ's life as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And we encourage you to take time today to think about the powerful reality of Jesus' death and resurrection. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's program again, we'll send you a complete CD copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's lesson from Luke chapter 24. Now, before Raul returns, we'd like to tell you about a resource that will guide you in responding to his love with a fully surrendered heart. This book from Raul is titled Servant, The Person God Uses. It explores the experiences of several men and women in Scripture who gave up their personal agendas to follow the Lord's leading for their lives. You'll be encouraged to see how God can do mighty things through ordinary people who choose to serve Him with extraordinary devotion. Get in touch with us to purchase Raul's book titled Servant, The Person God Uses. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send your copy for just $10.95 plus shipping and handling. Our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Access the Word of God at your convenience with our phone app that's available to download on your iPhone or Android. And you can also stream podcasts of all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs through Spotify and iTunes. Now, before we close today, we'd like to tell you about a very special faith-building pilgrimage that you're invited to next spring. Raul and Sharon are hosting a 2020 tour of the Holy Land. You won't want to miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Start planning and saving to set sail on the Sea of Galilee, summit the Mount of Olives, take communion near Christ's empty garden tomb, and much more. The dates for this 11-day tour are April 25th through May 5th. To find out more, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the 2020 Israel Tour link. Don't forget, Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep us on the air. Be sure to join us next time as we launch an in-depth study exploring the person and work of Jesus Christ. We'll begin with a look at the miracle of our Savior's virgin birth. Here's Raul now with a final word from Luke's Gospel.
And then he said to them, thus it is written, he continued, uses the word of God. And thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Again, the scriptures. It was written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, Psalm 22. He says, and the repentance, notice the need of repentance, And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. We need to take the gospel out to the world. Our own little world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are witnesses of these things, of the scriptures. Behold, here it is. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Underline that word upon you. Epi speaks of the Holy Spirit. Upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and you have the power of the Holy Spirit so you can go and testify of me.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.